Let's give it the green light, because this is Everything to Gatsby. I'm William Hughes, and I'm joined, as always, by the Trimalchio in my West Egg, Gary Butterfield.
All right. It's time to shake it like a Polaroid picture and Everything to Gatsby.
These are fun jokes because of the incredible Great Gatsby concept we're talking about in this particular episode. This, of course, is the show, the Duck Feed show. This is finally the fucking pivot. I'm so excited to actually get to the pivot.
Yeah. It's one of those things where I feel a kind of pity's the wrong word, but it's also the right word for anyone who's not figured out that we're on the pivot now.
This is the real pivot. Everything to Gatsby is the real pivot.
There's a sadness to it.
You can feel pity for them. You can feel anger, though, too, and that'll also be appropriate and proportional.
What about disgust?
Gary, you feel disgust more than any other person I know. So
I feel disgust a lot.
You do. I'll say a song. I missed karaoke party this week, but I've been at karaoke and I've seen you be disgusted by someone else's karaoke pick.
It's a pretty frequent emotion at karaoke.
Yeah.
It's 100% on at public bar karaoke, with just a couple breaks. And the friend karaoke, I'd say about half the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Which
a third.
It becomes an interesting social game. And I'm not saying that I missed this week's karaoke party because I didn't have enough good picks where, Gary would be impressed. But
yeah,
go ahead.
The trick is just to pick good songs.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I'm into it. I like listening to good music.
Yeah. It's very easy to know what that means and to accommodate it.
I think so.
Gary, this is obviously we're just launching. This one's not an ongoing one. This one is one we're launching today. You're in on the ground floor, but mm-hmm. this is Everything to Gatsby. This is finally some fucking literature on Duck Feed.
We figured that Duck Feed is a dumb podcast network, and we wanted to not be dumb, so we Googled important book.
Yeah, and this one was at the top of several lists once you got through all the romanticy stuff that has colonized those lists, like it's colonized everything.
Like bookstores are now 30%. The Minotaur Cafe.
We had a long conversation about whether we should just do a show about ACOTAR, but it turns out there are no characters in ACOTAR with G names.
Yeah. I also wanted to do a podcast about Akinator, where we just ask it questions and then we are amazed when it does its thing.
I was just reading about Akinator because it has an entry on the Developer's Foresight TV Tropes page, which is my favorite TV Tropes page.
It's a really good TV Tropes page, but that's a different show.
That's a different... God. Gary, we can't tell people what the actual pivot is.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. Make sure Gwen, edit that out.
Gwen, quack-stack that out.
You might be forgiven for thinking we're going in alphabetical order on Everything to Gatsby. But no, it's a random order like all of our shows. And if we roll up the same one again, we have to redo it.
Yeah, it's... And it's important that it's random. I've actually had to learn how to force fandom wikis to crap out random pages. There's a way.
Mm-hmm.
Which I won't tell Gary because then he'll replace me.
Yeah, I'll just do the podcast with myself. Podcast with myself.
So if I'd sung that at karaoke, would I have gotten the little eye roll?
That's a good song.
Okay. No.
Do you want to hear what got the eye roll at karaoke?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, I thought you might.
Nick listens. Are you sure?
Yeah, I mean, I can't not be who I am. And it doesn't bother me enough to where I want people to stop doing it. I just can't pretend to like music I don't like. I'm not good at lying. I'm not good at being polite if it involves deception. Liv, my beautiful wife, did mm-hmm. 1 week, but she warned me about it. So it was A-okay. Yeah. And I got some joy out of that because that is a song built for two people to sing. And if you're doing both parts, it's real tricky.
Yeah,
I imagine. You don't get a chance to breathe. So that was kind of fun. Kay did a Queens of the Stone Age song. I think that band's kind of silly, but not the end of the world.
We're getting the full review. Anybody?
Trying to think if there's anything else that was really eye-rolly. I don't think so. There was a, early on though, I was rude. And I didn't realize it until retrospect, which I imagine is something that you can relate to.
No,
but the, they were talking about playing four non blondes. They're like, we're going to guarantee we're going to get everybody in this room singing. And I said, I will bet you any amount of money, you won't get everyone in this room singing. I will bet my entire life savings that everyone in this room will not sing along to Four Non Blondes. And then it didn't happen.
I didn't
feel bad about that joke until I said that, until I realized it didn't happen. And I was like, oh yeah, I made the change I wanted to see in the world, but was mean to want.
Yeah. It's, I'll tell you, What's Going On by Four Non Blondes is the song I think about when I think about Gary having a bad reaction to a karaoke pick.
Fucking hate that song.
I know, man. I found out.
It's a CIA torture song to me. Like, I fucking hate that song. One of my least favorite. One of the worst to ever do it. That song.
Yeah, yeah. I have learned that from being near the nuclear blast.
Yeah. No, I'm not hiding it. Like, yeah. I got no shame about it. It's not something I'm trying to keep on the down low. So I'm glad you know. If you didn't know, I'd tell you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Gary, do you want to make a guess what ACOTAR is before we get into the meat of this episode?
Not particularly.
Yeah, it's a court of thorns and roses.
Okay.
It's one of the big ones by Sarah Moss.
Yeah, my wife says those are bad books.
Yeah, my wife is not, she read the first one and wasn't like wild about it, but they're insanely popular. It's, what if you had, I think it's kind of 50 Shades of Grey if the man was an elf.
Like a minotaur or something, yeah. Yeah,
like
I don't
face, face specifically.
Okay. Yeah, the romanticy thing is super not for me, but I can't fight it. It's so powerful now that, and that's fine. Like going into a bookstore and not having things tailored to me is fine. I just go and look at the Gary sections that are small, and that's good for me.
Because of the way I always try to, like, this is either a virtue or a weakness, but I always try to like fit myself into whatever the new thing is because I want to understand it, and that's how I understand it. I tried. Olivia had like one she really liked, and I the Fourth Wing books, which are very popular. They're about a dragon rider school. And I like dragons just fine. I've read dragon books that I like.
Do you like riders?
I'm like not a Pern guy, if that's what you're asking.
What
I'm
about in contracts or like in bills or legislation?
Oh, yeah, because it's how I get my pork in there.
Yeah, that's I know. And we love pork. That's why I assumed it was when we say dragon riders.
That's one. Like that's two things about outside. That's two things that you need to understand about duck feed. Only literature until today that you were going to encounter was Kay reading one horror short story a year.
Well, in addition to being way into the Dragon Riders of Pern.
Is Kay really into the Dragon Riders of Pern?
Oh, yeah.
Embarrassing. And.
Oh, you made the Gary Four Non Blondes face.
We don't have the cameras on, but you can tell. The vocal inflection came through.
I can hear it.
Those words sounded like they came through something snarled in hatred.
Like a grimace. Are you familiar with the grimace scale for cats? We only have like three more minutes of this episode. We're doing two today, but that's okay. Are you familiar with the grimace scale for cats?
No, although is it what it sounds like?
Basically, the vet taught us about it. There's an app. And you like do phrenology on your cat to tell if they're in pain, to assign the pain a number.
You need an app for that?
She told us to get an app for it.
Okay.
And it just shows you examples of the different like face points.
Is she maybe being financially supported by the app?
It's a free app. Free app, no ads.
Free app, no ads. What are they trying? Carrie, you got malware on your phone.
It'd be stupid not to download it. Say what?
You got malware on your phone now, man.
No, I didn't download it. Liv did.
You got social engineered by some sort of black hat veterinarian?
Hmm. She seems nice to me, but
what
she
color
could
was
not
her hat?
Be nice.
What color was
no
her
hat. No hat, weirdly enough. No hat.
Okay. Well, you got. So what you're going to have to do is do an infiltration mission into the veterinarian's staff room to figure out which hat is hers. You're going to have to use social deduction clues to figure out which locker is hers and go from there to find the color of the hat.
Can I use the social deduction of knowing her name and looking at the locker with her name on it?
Yeah, that's so. Knowing people's name is social deduction.
I guess right? It kind of
you're
is.
Already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to take her to a haberdasher. I'm going to see if my vet. She's been such a good vet. We want to give her the traditional vet gift, which is to take her to a haberdashery and then watch her eyes.
Gary, you know when people say that, they mean they're fucking the vet, right?
Just thinking about, I feel like if I wasn't married, I don't know that I would fuck this vet. When I first got Pac and I had a really hot vet.
Go on.
Just really, really hot. Like kind of like something in like a Suicide Girl vet. Like... Yeah, but then she quit working and she didn't like Pocket, so it was a big turnoff.
God, like the opposite of a meet cute. It's so sad. I'm so sorry for you, man.
No, it worked out. I'm married to the love of my life. Yeah. Who knows if things had gone differently. Yeah.
So, Gary, we're talking... So, to be clear, like all of our Pivot shows, but this one's real and we're doing it forever. This show is based off of the fandom wiki for The Great Gatsby, which mm-hmm. is, I will say, incomplete and fairly film-centric.
Pretty film-centric. And today we've rolled up Andre 3000, the first name you think of when you think of The Great Gatsby.
Yeah. And if you like, and if you're not sure what Andre 3000 has to do with The Great Gatsby, well, the fandom wiki is here for you. Can you read me... the text on Andre 3000's Great Gatsby wiki page?
Sure. Sign in to edit. Categories, colon, crew. Community content is available under CC by SA unless otherwise noted.
Yeah. So, do you like Andre 3000?
Oh, yeah. Big time. I don't know whether I like him in The Great Gatsby, but he's great. Probably a little less talented of a rapper than Big Boy, but I think more interesting musically.
Sure.
Yeah, great artist.
Boy, this year is Hope Money, Gary. I hope you don't say anything bad about Andre 3000.
I would never say anything bad about Andre 3000. Immense respect for all of Outkast, the entire Dungeon crew. I have an immense amount of respect for.
Yeah, and it's exciting because I'll tell you right now, we got another a song-related thing on this set. And it's someone I respect way less.
Yeah, it's kind of odd that we got two songs, but that's randomness and that's the fandom wiki. We're gonna be back before you know it. Patreon.com/DuckFeedTV, ratings, reviews, and as always, stay green, golden boy.
Stay green, golden boy.
Hello, welcome to Everything to Gatsby. My name is Gary Butterfield, and with me as always is the place where Dennis the Menace hides out in ambush, Bill Hughes.
That tracks for me. I am the place where I am the person who Brian Wilson met Charlie Manson through.
Dennis Wilson would be a real twist. Like if
to be
Dennis
on
the
Gatsby soundtrack? Oh.
Well, that too, but if Dennis the Menace was Mr. Wilson's son or grandson, like they found out they was related.
Or Dennis the Menace is, in fact, Charles Manson. Like, he's a Charles Manson stand-in?
Yeah. Or Mr. Wilson is Dennis the Menace from the future.
Say that again.
Or Mr. Wilson is Dennis the Menace from the future.
Okay, yeah. That's a different thing. That's getting away from the Dennis Wilson kind of Beach Boys stuff, but it is fun. It is fun to think about.
Yeah. I mean, he could be, might be Charles Manson. That's fine too. We all know about the Charlie Manson introduction with Dennis Wilson. It's real weird. Poor Brian Wilson.
It's a weird, just true thing that for a little while, instead of murder, Charles Manson was real into, he got into murder because he failed in the music business.
Yeah. He wasn't a very good songwriter and not enough Beach Boys respected him. And because of that, he decided to recruit murderers.
I assume he had some awkward conversations with Brian Wilson where he's like,
he might have. We're both
songwriters, right? We're songwriters on the same level and just And the disdain in Brian Wilson's is what got several people killed.
I feel like Brian Wilson, I don't know that Brian Wilson is capable of disdain, but he is capable of a kind of mush-mouthed, like, chest talking that I feel like would drive anyone to recruit murderers.
Well, I mean, he was famously, like, crazy perfectionist.
He's a crazy perfectionist, but he's not, like, about his own shit. He's, like, Brian Wilson's a fucking weirdo. If Mike Love and Charles Manson would be a great pairing.
Mike Love would have, if Mike Love thought there was, like, I mean, I don't think Charles, I haven't listened to, like, the one Charles Manson Beach Boys song that's, like, in there. I assume it's not banger. About, what?
I said it's a banger.
Yeah, but I assume it is not about Little Deuce Coupes.
No, there's some hints to what Manson would go on for his sophomore album, so to speak, mm-hmm. as we like to call it, the sophomore slump that he inflicted on that house.
By which you mean the Tate Polansky murders?
Yeah. Yeah, the sophomore slump. It wasn't as good as his earlier work with the Beach Boys. You know, but you have your whole life to do your first album and then only like 6 months to do your second. It's a really common tale. You know?
Yeah, or the TV show Heroes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And it did, that was too receptive, man. I wasn't ready for you to actually take that as a good point.
I'm a superhero guy. I tried to give Heroes a shot. It's so fucking boring.
That first season at least feels like, oh, you were sitting on this for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good idea.
Yeah.
And it had that good mystery feel for the first season or whatever. But the second season is much worse. The first season was not as good as I wanted it to be. And then they kept doing it. Yeah.
They brought it back.
Yeah. Hero. The guy named Hero.
So today on Everything to Gatsby, we're talking about George Wilson's garage.
Yeah. Now this is significantly more information. Garage. It's a business.
It's in the Valley of Ashes, of course.
Yes. And really importantly, this is the garage that's within the site of the notorious Dr. J. Jekyllberg sign, which, as far as I can tell, is the villain of The Great Gatsby.
So, Gary, I will say that you are reading a typo on the wiki very literally.
I'm joking.
Oh, okay. I do not know your familiarity. You said it very sincerely. You're a great actor.
Thank you. Like my wife in the play version she did of The Great Gatsby. I saw 2 years ago.
Oh, who'd she play?
I cannot remember the name. It was I think it might have been Myrtle. It was...
There's basically three female main characters in Great Gatsby. There's Daisy, there's Jordan, who's the snarky tennis player, and then there's Myrtle, the lover, who is hit by a car.
I think it is Daisy. That respect.
She was Daisy?
I think she might have been Daisy.
Was she having love scenes with Jay Gatsby?
I'm trying to remember.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, man.
Yeah, no, I don't. She was kind of sassy. Remember that? Maybe she wasn't Daisy. I don't remember exactly who she played.
If I was casting your wife in Great Gatsby, I think I would cast her as Jordan. You. Yeah,
she might have been Jordan. It's been, I'm not good with names here.
But I'm trying to give you like plot details you could instead
I know what
use.
You're doing. But the other thing is that their production of it was not a play. It was a play of a radio show of it. So she played multiple characters in that. She also did like ad reads. She played side characters and stuff. So it's a little bit confusing.
Sure.
It's a really confusing idea for a play. It's a play of if they were doing The Great Gatsby on an old-timey radio show and you were watching it instead of listening to it.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, it's the story of Great Gatsby. The performances were all good. They did the real-time Foley shit, which was fun. They had like two guys in like suits shaking foil and stuff. They do like storm noises and everything. That was nice.
Like in that episode of Frasier.
Yeah, it was all like that episode of Frasier. And it had little ad reads that were cute for T.J. Eckelberg's was their little joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, of course, the eyes of Dr. T.J. Eckelberg, which watch us like a judgmental god.
Yes. Yeah. They're green.
Have you read The Great Gatsby?
Yeah. When I was in high school.
Same, yeah. Same. Yeah. I had to reread the synopsis to remind myself what the exact plot stuff was.
Yeah, I like the Great Gatsby.
I did do research for this episode because I didn't want to, you know, you never want to half-ass something, right?
No, I mean, I do.
I know. Okay, yeah. I never want to half-ass something, right?
Yeah, you do. But you don't want
okay,
to be perceived
I don't
want to
half-ass something if my non-half-assing it can be used as a weapon against a friend who is half-assing it, right?
Yeah, and you what you would like to feel superior in a way in terms of ass use.
The actual thing is that I just think it's funnier if we know more.
Yeah, who's we?
Me and this fucking mouse in my pocket who's riding my ass about not knowing all the stuff.
There we go.
I hate this mouse.
It's a shitty mouse. Did you ever see the all mouse cartoon version of The Great Gatsby?
No.
The Great Ratsby?
Doesn't sound like it has mice in it from the name.
He's a rat. The rest of them are mice.
Ah, that's why that's the classism right there.
Yeah, it's actually. It's kind of like the Mouse, the Art Spiegelman comic.
Sure.
You know, it's a lot like that. It's a lot like Mouse.
It's a lot like taking the Holocaust and making it about how your own shitty relationship with your dad. Taking the world's biggest story and then just making it about how you don't like your dad very much.
That's a pretty unkind reading of Mouse, but the...
I'm allowed.
You're allowed. Is that a real thought?
Sorry.
Is that a real opinion? What? Is that a real opinion?
I think it's not a real opinion.
Hmm. That'll have to be for everything to a character in Mouse that has a G in their name.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we hadn't settled on this pivot.
Yeah. Which we have. This is the pivot from here on out. This is, of course, George Wilson's garage. This is the garage of George Wilson, who is the husband of Myrtle Wilson, who is Tom Buchanan's lover,
mm-hmm.
who gets hit by a car. And because of that, George Wilson goes and kills Jay Gatsby, even though he wasn't driving.
And he lives in the Valley of Ashes, which is a Dark Souls title card-ass name for the Great Gatsby.
I mean, West End and East Egg are also not that far off.
It's pretty Dark Souls, the book, just to try to get into the Duckfeed audience. You know, if you're hesitant to get into this book, it's pretty Dark Souls. Like, he is seen to have a dark soul, but really he's just flawed like the rest of us.
Yeah. Oh, Duckfeed listener, books are those things that your parents are coming down into the basement to tell you to read sometimes.
Yeah. And sometimes they do have pictures of naked people in them.
Mm-hmm. This one
but
doesn't.
We're talking
has
about
some fucking
one,
in it.
Sometimes they have fucking in it. This one has descriptions of fucking. If you get an illustrated edition, you might be able to see Gatsby Hog. Not that great.
I think Duckfeed listeners are sophisticated enough to masturbate to The Great Gatsby.
To text? Is there anything like me? And I tried to make them like me, so I like to think they can jerk off to text. Or masturbate. I guess jerk off. You can jerk off with the other one. With a clitoris. And what? Some labes.
Gary, I didn't walk down this alley with you, and now you're alone and it's dark. But
yeah. It's cool. I'm gonna jerk off. I'm in the dark.
Oh, yeah.
Under the TJ Eckelberg sign. I love it when he watches.
You trying to figure out in real time whether jerk off was sexist was
gender
really
neutral
exciting.
Or not.
Yeah.
I think I've decided it is.
I usually counter it.
Yeah. What should people do?
There's no way of knowing at this time and in this place, Gary. It's very hard. They should read The Great Gatsby. It's, you know, look, is the plot a little bit stupid? Yeah. Is the writing lovely? Yes.
Yeah. It's a little slow by modern novel standards, but it's good.
Yeah.
Like, I remember liking it quite a bit. The classics can be good, you know? They can be shit. Like, they're ones that are bad. Yeah. But this is one of the good ones.
And it's short. Okay? It's short. It's a short book, nerd.
And
wait, are they nerds or are we calling them dumb?
We were calling them dumb earlier, but we can call them nerds if you like.
Nerds can be dumb. I know lots of dumb nerds.
Yeah. And there's Dew in it. And there's a Dark Souls. There's the Valley of Ashes. Like, doesn't that sound scary and cool?
Someone dies in the Valley of Ashes.
Yeah. Do they come back as the chosen undead? There's only one way to find out. Reading The Great Gatsby 2, Scholar of the First Sin.
Tarnished, you must find the green light at the end of the dock. Tarnished. I'm like a weird, I'm a weird Dracula man or some shit.
Yeah, like Dracula man. And until next time, stay green, golden boys.
Stay green, golden boys and girls.
Oh, thank you. God. Fuck.
Yeah.
Dodged a bullet. Dodged a car. A little party never killed nobody. So we gonna dance until we drop. A little party never killed nobody. Right here, right now, though we get.
Hey, we're giving the green light to everything to Gatsby. This is William Hughes, and I'm joined, as always, by the left nut of Dr. T.J. Eckelberg, Gary Butterfield.
Will I ain't.
Aren't you?
Nope.
Yeah. So yeah, we're Gary, it's an awkward show. This is once again, the conceit also that we're doing four separate episodes when I'm releasing this as a chunk and there's no way to get them separate. It's so fuck. Everything about our shows is fucking stupid, Gary.
We're getting our legs. This is the first episode of the new show.
It's okay. A brand new show. It takes a little time. Gary, we're talking about Bang Bang today from the Great Gatsby soundtrack, written for the Great Gatsby, the Baz Luhrmann Great Gatsby film, which I have not seen. Have you seen this?
No.
Looked bad, right?
This should surprise no one. I really don't like Baz Luhrmann.
Yeah.
That's not Gary's style.
I'll tell you, I've never actually said, I did not ever see Romeo plus, it was Romeo plus Juliet minus me being interested in seeing it, you know?
That's a really good line. Sincerely, I like that. I'm pretty into that. If I read that in one of your pieces, I would laugh.
Great. Thanks.
Yeah. I like that. I saw that because it was in high school. We got to watch it in school. And I like the soundtrack.
Yeah, no, though I'm younger than, I guess I had more conservative teachers, they put up the Franco Zeffirelli version.
I watched so many fucking versions of Romeo and Juliet. We watched every version of Romeo and Juliet, including that one. But they just, I don't know. I had a bunch of teachers who were like, I don't know, fucking movie.
Yeah. My favorite thing about watching the Franco Zeffirelli Romeo and Juliet is that my ninth grade English teacher had a piece of cardboard that she just kept with the TV. And then she would just, when it got to the fucking scene, would just casually walk up and just lift up the cardboard to block the nudity. And then God, would just drop it back down.
To be that cardboard.
Right.
Can you imagine?
The performers are like, I think they're 16. They are young. They are extremely young.
But in cardboard years, that's different.
That's true, Gary, which is what the cardboard has been saying a lot about its many appearances in the Epstein files.
Yeah, it's just cardboard. It's like cardboard culture. It's a little different, you know?
Wait, I kind of want to check the Epstein files. Hold on, Gary. I've had some technical problems today. If this causes my computer to crash, me checking the Epstein files for the word cardboard, I formally apologize to you. Yeah, I'm not a robot. Yeah, I'm 18 years of age or older. Verified.
It's got to be in there.
It has to be. Someone has to have said cardboard. Check, search full Epstein library for cardboard.
Library. Ah, the Epstein library.
197 results. A lot of them about, they are about Google Cardboard.
Okay. That's pretty good.
Wait, hold on. Here's one. Gary, why are we not just doing a full? Holy
everything
shit. You can just. That's actually a good idea for a show.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Until we landed on human beef jerky and we had to like be real fucking sad. Like until it became about washing and storing unspecified meat, I think it'd be a fun show.
Gary,
and then we.
I'm sorry. I don't mean. You're right. You're absolutely right. I'm very distracted by the thing on my screen right now.
Mm-hmm.
But not in a way where the FBI should come visit. This is an email sent from jeevacation@gmail.com. mm-hmm. on Monday, July 16th, 2018, sent to LV Jet, which I guess is just his jet staff. Here's the entire text of the email. Let's bring some cardboard to plane to see how far I can push Devon out.
If this were like a deduction game where you use a search engine, you'd have to figure out who Devon is now.
I think it's like a couch, story? Dude.
Oh, not like Devon, like yeah. D-V-O-N. Okay.
Yeah. D-I-V-A-N. Yeah.
Okay.
This is Jeffrey Epstein saying, hey, bring a piece of cardboard. I want to move the couch on my pedophile
That's very
plane.
Funny. See how far we can push it. The my favorite thing about the Epstein files, my least favorite thing is that nothing's happening. You know, nobody's getting in trouble. My favorite thing, though, is how much he types like a fucking idiot caveman.
He's very bad at sending emails.
It's really funny. I don't know why he texts like, it's like what adults think children text like and do emails like. It's very funny to me.
Yeah, to be clear, let's no apostrophe, can spelled C-N-A, and push is P-U equal sign H.
P-U equal sign. Yay. Bang Bang is, of course, a song by will.i.am.
Gary, did you listen to this song?
No, I did not do prep. I wanted to set you up for success.
I listened to the song.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine from a production standpoint. It's lyrically, it's just about how goddamn hot his girlfriend is.
Okay.
The music is, it's a Charleston, but then with like techno drops, like serious like bass drops for dancing. Mm. The main thing about it is that will.i.am in the rapping parts is doing a lot of voices. At one point he does a Louis Armstrong voice while rapping.
It's the kind of thing he can do, but I can't.
I'm sorry, bud. I know how sad you are that you've had that taken from you.
I have a pretty good impersonation of Louis Armstrong. I'm just not allowed.
I've heard it a lot of times.
Yeah.
Not recently, though.
I primarily know will.i.am from his work in X-Men Origins Wolverine as John Raish.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, they were really looking around for people to have in that, huh?
Yeah. And he does a fine job.
Yeah.
In X-Men Origins Wolverine. He's also in The Herbs, Sims in the City, as himself. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, no. If there could be a sim of me that I didn't have to make, I don't know, that'd be pretty exciting.
I would be excited if I appeared in The Herbs, Sims in the City.
Gary, you think someone's made a Gary sim to put out on the Sims?
Other than me?
Yeah. A fan.
I don't know. I don't think so. But maybe. The reason why I don't think so is I think that they would show me and Kay those, because like when people do stuff like that, if they draw us or do anything like that, they'll show us usually.
Yeah. People should be doing more fan art of this show, right? This is a new show. We need some fucking fan art.
This show should really get some fan art. It needs to take off because one of the things you may not know is that things that are high art and literature are less popular now. Kids are not into it. We're trying to bring it back.
Gary, is there a way we could do this show as a vertical video?
Ooh. That is a good, where we hold the mic the whole time like they do in vertical videos.
Yeah, or, you know, we could just be like, we could just start filming. We could just do what the McElroys do and just, like, film ourselves recording our audio podcast so that we can make vertical videos out of it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we'll have to cut them together. I'm not coming over to your house. But, yeah. Or it could just be one of us.
The other thing I was thinking about was getting an all-green mask, like Green Man from It's Always Sunny, and cutting out the eye holes. And that being what I look like on Duckstream now.
So it could just be the background?
And just my floating eyes.
Yeah, floating eyes. I like that. Yeah, I think I like that idea. will.i.am's Wikipedia? No controversies mm-hmm. page.
Yeah, So I mostly only know about will.i.am from listening to the podcast BigSoftTitty.png. Mm-hmm. Where they regularly have a segment where they talk about how stupid will.i.am is.
I believe it. He's in the Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah, but he's done That is, in many ways, the least stupid thing about his career. Will.i.am is a techno-futurist without, as far as I can tell, any technical ability.
Okay.
He's just a big believer in technology.
Just generally. Okay.
And he has a... Because of where he's put the periods in his name, he's very famous.
Yeah.
So the one they talk about a lot is he made a car that makes music as it drives.
I don't think that's stupid. I think that's kind of fun. I don't know. I'm kind of into that. It's real stupid, but it's like stupid in a good way. If I had Will.i.am money, I'd do shit like that.
Sure. I believe, is it really called, I'm trying to remember, is it really called the Sound Drive?
Oh, baby.
Yeah, it's called the Sound Drive.
Put that in my veins. No, I'm into this. The podcast, Big Soft Titty is wrong. I like those guys, but they're wrong with this. This is Will.i.am cooking. And he was on the Great Gatsby soundtrack.
That's culture. With Bang Bang.
With Bang Bang, which features elements of the Charleston. That's fun-ish.
You know? Sound Drive totally reimagines whole existing songs. Once the samples to work with have been generated, there are effectively infinite combinations of how you can improvise with it, depending on how you're driving.
You don't usually do a lot of improvising when you're driving.
Yeah.
Those are not good.
Amusingly, Mercedes thinks it counts as a safety feature, though the bass drop and vocal punch when you drop the throttle is addictive. The system is linked to GPS and notes the current speed limit. If you're in a 30-mile-per-hour zone, the song will only reward you for accelerating up to 30 miles per hour.
How do I get one of these? Is it something you add onto a car, or do you have to buy the car separate?
I don't. It was a Mercedes-Benz thing, so I think you might be priced out.
I would like to just get a little module I can add to Liv's car that does this.
Yeah.
Be great.
Sweetie, I modded the car.
Yeah. You did that? I mean, I tried. I would break the car. It wouldn't be able to drive.
Yeah.
I'd be fucked. If you like this show, all four episodes of it that come out during a week, because it's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's patreon.com/duckfeedtv, and we need your support more than ever in this new bit of the pivot.
We
and when you're supporting
read...
the show, it's not just supporting the show, it's supporting literature.
Yeah, the lyrics to... We should read... I know we're on a time crunch, but can we just really quick look at the lyrics of Bang Bang?
Sure.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
My baby shot me down again, shot me... I think it... To some extent, I think he's riffing on Nancy Sinatra's Bang Bang. Maybe that's the truth and plucking chickens ain't no use. I want to wear my tux and see you when you gowned.
But my baby's always sneaking out, sneaky bitch. Okay. But he does
love
her.
Baby. Some of this, I think there's a... I thought I caught some cunnilingus references, but maybe I was just thinking about that one religious lady song. That
my baby makes me go down, down.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Come here, baby, be my lollipop.
Oh, yeah. See, me and Will.i.am would get along. Like, yeah, not only do we both like that sound car thing, but we both like lollipop. Tom and Jerry and Scooby-Doo, stupid is what stupid do. Like,
yeah.
Good lyrics.
You'd roll your eyes, and he'd leave.
Yeah, he would. And I deserve it, and he would deserve it.
Stay green, golden boy.
Stay green, golden boy.
And girls.
And girls. A little party never killed nobody. So we gonna dance until we drop. A little party never killed nobody. Right here, right now, is all we got. We've got the green light going. Everything to Gatsby. My name is Gary Butterfield, and with me is a man who gives a hoot, Will Hughes.
Yeah, don't pollute, motherfuckers.
Yeah. I got a little trivia on this character.
Yeah, Gary, what character?
Owl Eyes, of course.
Yeah.
He appears in the novel The Great Gatsby.
That's good trivia, man. That trivia is solid.
Yeah, I thought so. Lives in East Egg.
What?
Lives in East Egg, still alive.
Like Trimalchio.
Yeah, very similar to Trimalchio, the normal name.
Of course, we all know that Trimalchio in West Egg was, or East Egg, whatever, was the title that Fitzgerald wanted for The Great Gatsby, because the man couldn't name a book to save his fucking life.
Yeah. And we wouldn't be here today if he had named it that.
There is a good segment of the Wikipedia page for The Great Gatsby that is just about people trying to stop successfully stopping F. Scott Fitzgerald from renaming his very good book with the worst fucking names in the world.
Yeah. I like when people look out for people like that.
Yeah, there's like, no, Great Gatsby is fine. It's evocative. He's like, what about the Golden Gatsby? Or Gold-Hatted Gatsby. Can we name it Gold-Hatted Gatsby? Yeah. Like, nah, man, that sounds bad.
Well, it's not nearly as bad as Trimalchio and East Egg.
Like, Trimalchio and East Egg is pretty.
I don't like Trimalchio as a word. It doesn't feel good coming out of the mouth.
Yeah, Trimalchio is a character from a myth who has a lot of orgies. I would read more about it on Wikipedia, but my computer keeps crashing when I click links, which is making this recording session go really smoothly and really good for my comedy mood.
What if Trimalchio's name was Tri-Orgies, and because that's what he likes to do?
I don't know why literature tries to trick us by not just saying this is a guy who tries orgies, you know?
Well, in Owl Eyes, you get exactly what this guy is.
He's got owlish eyes. He's the owl-eyed man. I wasn't sure about his significance, so I watched a Downfall edit where Hitler explains to his generals what it's about.
About The Great Gatsby?
Yeah. Or someone does specifically. There's a Downfall edit specifically about about Owl Eyes.
Okay. Fascinating.
Where the generals are like, we do not think the Owl-Eyed Man has any significance. And that's when Hitler asks almost all of them to leave the room and then starts screaming in his bunker.
Yeah. Well, he's one of the only guys who goes to the funeral.
Yeah, although not apparently in the 2013 book. I did a lot of prep for this episode, which has now been ruined by technical difficulties. And then by me complaining about technical difficulties.
Welcome to the podcasting life.
Today
you have truly become a podcaster.
I'll become a podcaster in your ass. Sorry.
Don't cast anything into my ass. I'm not Trell Orgio.
Yeah. Gary, what spell would you cast into another person's ass if you had to?
Good question.
Dungeons & Dragons 5e, specifically.
Okay. Whose ass?
Unclear.
Okay, because it's very contextual. Like, am I casting a blessing, you know, into my wife's ass, or am I casting acid splash into my enemy's ass?
It is going to happen to a random ass.
Random ass on planet Earth? Okay.
Gary, I do not choose to believe that there are asses elsewhere in the universe. Call me small-minded if you like.
No asses.
I think asses are a uniquely human slash... Yeah, we're going to say it's a human ass, so yeah.
Okay. I'm going to do something neutral in that case.
Command, shit.
You know? So it'd be like guidance.
Okay.
Give them advantage on their next shit, you know?
Great, you just made Stephen Miller have the best shit of his life.
Yeah, which is comparatively much better than giving him a limited wish, you know?
I mean, he'd give his ass a limited wish.
His ass probably wants the same things he does. Like, do you think that a racist man has a racist ass? This is Everything to Gatsby, the most literary show on Duckfeed. Do you think a racist man has a racist ass?
I think probably racist men have racist dicks.
Yeah. So I assume that Stephen Miller's ass is also a eugenicist.
Yeah. Not a eugenicist. No. Gary hasn't played it. He won't talk to me about it.
Nope. I want to play it portable.
It's on Steam. Don't you have a Steam Deck?
I do have a Steam Deck.
Fuck you, dude.
I'm almost. No, fuck no, you. Fuck you. I'm not beholden to you to do things with my free time. I'm getting ahead on work shit. I just beat Donkey Kong Country 2. I'm ahead on work now, so I got some Gary time.
You didn't need to. Nice. You could have not played Donkey Kong Country 2, man.
I do preparation for the real shows.
Sure. But Donkey Kong Country 2, you could have watched a long play.
It is a patron request. It's our premium episode for the month. And I've never actually played it. Like, not to completion. I touched it when I was a kid. But I was like, okay, what will this be like? I want to give this a fair shot.
You get all the DK
coins?
In
the hands. Say what?
You get all the DK coins?
Certainly fucking not. Not even close.
I 100%ed that game as a kid.
It's hard. It's a tricky game.
I like its secret design. I like the way it hides stuff.
Its secret design is okay. This is just getting into the WAF thing. I'm so born in the Super Mario world of secret design where the secrets are interesting and not just collectibles and shit. Like, it has a very different philosophy than most Nintendo games do in a way that I think is pretty worse, but is interesting.
The rejection of
level design and secrets.
The rejection of power-ups. Like, you know, you have animal power-ups, but they're kind of like level situational power-ups, right?
Well, they're also sometimes kind of like power downs. Like some of them kind of suck. There is a real intense preference for gacha level design in that.
Yeah.
You know, there's when you get to the minecart part, which is part I generally like, there's a lot of speeder bike style. You have to jump over a thing, and then immediately if you jump the next time, you get hurt.
Yeah, they're
but there's not
with
a whole
you.
Lot. They're fucking with you. It's nonstop. Just how can we trick you and get you to memorize the level? I don't think it's actually very well designed. I understand why it did well, but I don't think that's smart design. I don't think that's like particularly clever. It's just gotcha shit. It doesn't make me feel like they're doing good stuff. I just feel like I memorized a thing.
Yeah, I think it is the best of those three games, but that is not necessarily saying. I'm really glad how much WAF I just got in here.
You just guessed on that one honorarily.
Yeah. So the Allied Man appears in the novel basically two times. He shows up in at one of Gatsby's parties that Gatsby himself does not attend, where he notes that all of the books in Gatsby's library have never been read.
Yes.
And then at the end, he shows up. He's one of only three people to show up at Gatsby's funeral, along with his father and, of course, Nick. Nick Spix, and calls him a poor son of a bitch.
It is an odd thing to go to a funeral when you've only gone to one party of a guy.
Maybe you just like funerals.
I guess, because I like weddings. I would go to Gatsby's wedding, but I don't like funerals that much.
At what ratio do you like the one to the other?
I would say I like weddings three times as much as I like funerals.
I do not have a movie for you.
Yeah. a little edit out one of those bad boys.
Yeah. Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One that's got Rowan Atkinson saying, "Holy spigot."
No, that's the one we want. Yeah. I would go to Rowan Atkinson funeral because, you know, a lot of hijinks and shit are going to happen. That's going to be a fun funeral.
What if it's like, just so somber? What if it's just people weeping?
Then people are just weeping. I'm going to have to make like cartoon honking sound effects and shit. I need to bring the party to that funeral because like Rowan would want it that way.
He would want to have a Mr. Bean ass funeral.
Yeah. I think so. And like burying Mr. Bean, a eulogy for Mr. Bean. These are all powerful concepts that we cannot allow to just slip into non-existence. You know,
Mr. Bean was a complicated man. He loved fiercely. He cared for those who were within his inner circle intimately. He drove a tiny little car while sitting on top of the car and controlling the steering wheel with ropes.
Yeah. And he has a bar themed after him in Vietnam. He's got a lasting legacy.
I don't know about that.
You don't know about the Mr. Bean themed bar in Vietnam?
Don't know about that.
Google it.
What do you want? I can't.
You'll like
it.
You Google it using the original Google, your imagination.
Just tell me about it, man.
It's exactly, I wish there was more to say. I found out about it because Nick lets go. I'm not like cool. I wasn't trawling for Vietnamese bars, but it is a Mr. Bean themed bar in Vietnam that is wall to wall Bean, and it's full of young kids partying and drinking and presumably enjoying Mr. Bean.
I do like Mr. Bean.
Who would like the Vietnamese?
No, I said like Mr. Bean.
Oh, okay. I thought you said who would like.
Anybody. Mr. Bean's delightful.
Mr. Bean's all right. I know. I had to see
Gary Rankum. Blackadder, Mr. Bean, Johnny English. Oh.
I don't know Blackadder.
Sacrilege. Sacrilege. Oh my god.
I'm not really into old-timey British shows.
Blackadder's funny, man. It's if you're thinking it's like, are you being served or some shit? No, this is subversive. This is funny shit, man.
I like the young ones, okay. Yeah, I don't know. The little slapstick for me, that Mr. Bean. Say what?
That's Mr. Bean, not fucking Blackadder. There's no slapstick in Blackadder. Little bit of
slapstick.
There's
no slapstick in Black.
There's very little slap. He's not doing any of the slapstick. He is a.
I'll tell you.
Blackadder is a verbal character.
Johnny English, there's some fucking slapstick. So well, two out of three ain't bad.
Fucking, I hate Johnny English.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Johnny English. It feels superfluous.
One of my last memories of my father is we'd taken a trip together. He was already dying. And we were like, you want to go see a movie? I guess. What's in theaters? I don't know. And we went and saw, I think, Johnny English.
That's a bad feeling.
The idea that I spent what were some of my father's last hours on Earth, not, I mean, he wasn't full on dying, but he had cancer. The leukemia was doing its program mission, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The idea that I made my dad spend some of that watching Johnny English is a lot to carry.
That is bleak. I'm pulling from my own examples and trying to think of what the dumbest thing I did with my mom before she died when she was on her way out.
Yeah.
But it was nothing she didn't choose. I think we watched like a good amount of Judge Joe Brown, but she was pretty into that.
Yeah.
So
like when I think about my father's death, I think about the moment when I realized I was going to, because I had a flight the next morning because I had a job starting and I had to leave. Right. Like it was my first job I had lined up in like 4 years. And like you can never know what the timeline on someone dying is going to be. Right.
That's true.
So I was in the hospital room with him and and he was like half awake. And I told him, you know, I said, I forgive you for anything you feel like you need forgiveness for. And then I walked out of the door knowing I would never see him again, walking down that hallway and just feeling mm-hmm. every step taking me further away from the world where my father exists.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also think about Rowan Atkinson doing a fart.
Yeah.
And those and are it kind being of the two.
What you fine. Need.
It was like fine. Yeah. The fart was fine. It was a mid-level funny fart.
Somebody should have cast Bless in his asshole.
Someone should have. I wish someone had. I guess I wish if they had a Bless spell, they'd cast it on my father instead.
On his asshole or just the whole father?
I mean, by that point, it had metastasized, so.
I guess you need the entire blessing, like a full body bless.
Full body
Maybe bless. Maybe aid. Yeah. Sounds... I guess we could do heal, but I don't want to waste the slot.
What? That's... Did you just describe curing my father's cancer as wasting a slot?
It's a level 7 fucking spell. As a priest spell too, you gotta be high level to get healed.
You just described saving my father's life as wasting the slot.
if you like this show,
I'm sorry, man. I've only got my level 7 left.
And what if I need to cast Firestorm or something? I don't know. Or Firestorm.
Any of the members of the Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, I love Firestorm. Ronnie Raymond, Martin Stein. I don't want to get into a whole thing. We have to get to the end of this episode. This is just something I need you to know.
Yeah.
Can I get a will guarantee that we're not going to go into a digression after I tell you this?
Yeah, man. Will guarantee.
I've been studying close-up magic, as you know,
mm-hmm.
largely at your prompting. Guess who I found out is also an award-winning stage magician?
Victor Garber?
Jason Alexander.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, he's way into it. I watched an interview with him where he's talking about it, and he's like, yeah, I was to empower me because I was not feeling empowered. I wanted to do things that ordinary people couldn't do. And I cringed out of my skin, and I was like, nope, this is what I'm doing. And then I practiced coin magic for a little bit because I'm doing it every day.
to become more powerful than other people.
Yeah. Well, largely, I think you you had challenged me to do it, and I realized I haven't gotten better at something in a long time.
Yeah.
And that got me really sad.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get better at something. You know?
Yeah. Gary, if people have enjoyed Everything to Gatsby, the show we're doing every week now, where we talk about the Great Gatsby in depth, you can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Hey, leave a comment on the episode. We read those.
Yeah. We get Gwen to read them, but like,
yeah,
somebody reads them. And you want to be here on the ground floor because we're going to roll Gatsby at some point. And that's going to be a big episode.
I definitely, when randoming, didn't roll Leonardo DiCaprio and thought, nah, and re-rolled.
That's too early. We can't come this soon.
That's pretty much it. Gary, I genuinely rejected a couple of rolls.
Yeah, we are not a one pump chump.
I didn't want to talk about fucking Joel Edgerton.
Exactly. Stay green, golden boys.
And girls.
Oh, shit. I'll get it someday.
Someday. Near, far, wherever you are. If I'm being honest, I miss everything again. Gar.